Found it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Podcast. Welcome to
Found It
Podcast, a podcast about geocaching, about woods, about containers, and a harsh finding looking for a cache. As you can hear again, I'm back English. I'm sorry, Swedish listeners, but to embrace our new international approach, I have to use a language we most of us understands. And just by today's show, I am greatly honored to meet people far, far away from me. Last week with Annie Love, and she was like 8 hours away. But this time I'm talking to Terri-Anne from Australia, and also known for the YouTube channel Geocaching Down Under. I think, welcome to Found It Podcast, Terri-Anne.
Thank you, Patrick. It's an honor to be here.
It's an honor to have you also, because we've been working for almost 2 years, more than 2 years now, and you and Annie and Chris are the first international for 2 years who even agreed to join us.
That is fantastic, then. There you go. You're multicultural now.
Yeah, we are. Okay. How long have you been doing your YouTube channel?
The podcast, I have had that for about 2 years now.
Yeah, and it is also a podcast for regular directories.
It is, yeah. That's right.
Okay. But I'm not. We're not going to talk about that yet. I have a question. I just said your name was Terri-Anne, but what is your geocaching username?
So my geocaching username is Purple Cache Eater.
Okay, how come you chose that?
Well, my favorite color is purple. And while I was trying to think of a name, I wanted something that mattered to me. And loving the color purple, I wanted to play on that. So my aunt thought of straight away, she thought of Purple People Eater. And I did a little bit of research, and that name was actually already taken. So I said, let's give it a geocaching twist. And then I came up with the blend of Purple Cache Eater rather than Purple People Eater.
Aha, okay. So a purple people eater, you said? What is
that? It was
already
taken.
Yeah, what is it?
Also, it's a song. I think it's an American song from back in the 50s or 60s. You'll have to Google it. It's like a funny, quirky song, not a full-on serious song. But yeah, it's a song called Purple People Eater.
Ah, okay. Well, you can listen to it here.
It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
A one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater sure looks strange to me.
One-eyed.
Well, he came down to earth and he lit in a tree. I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, don't eat me. I heard him say in a voice so gruff,
I wouldn't eat you 'cause you're so tough.
And so, when did you start geocaching, and why or how?
Sure. So I originally started geocaching with my dad way back when I was a teenager, so around the 2003 sort of time frame. And that was before we had smartphones, so that was looking on the website, printing off the page, and then plugging the details into the GPS and then heading out and exploring. So Dad and I, we both loved exploring and finding new places, and we loved puzzles and solving things. So it was a really good fit for us. And it was just a wonderful activity just for Dad and myself to do. And then when I moved away from living with my dad, I stopped doing it for about 10 years. And then I was actually living with my aunt, and she encouraged me to get back into it. And she was speaking to a neighbor of ours at the time, and somehow or other geocaching came up in the conversation, and my neighbor was actually a geocacher. And I was like, great, my niece is a geocacher. How about the two of you go out and do geocaching together? Because I was a bit shy and didn't want to go out by myself, and it had been so long that I'd sort of forgotten about it. So that's how I got back into it. And to be honest, I think she was happy to get me out of the house.
Okay, so it basically was your father who taught you how to geocache.
Yes, absolutely. Your dad started the whole craze.
Yeah, I know you spent 10 years not doing geocaching, but now, after you've started again, how much time would you say you spend during a week or a weekend or so?
As much as I can, really. I'm more of an opportunist geocacher, though. So sort of whenever I'm out and about, I go and have a look and see what's nearby on the map wherever I'm going. So mainly weekends. But my aunt, she's very understanding, and she's a muggle, so she encourages me to go geocaching whenever I can. So whenever we stop somewhere, she's like, is there a geocache nearby? Have a look. So I jump on the map and have a look. And she'll sit in the car and wait while I'm looking under bushes and in trees.
Yeah, my mother is actually the same. Mm. She told me that, bring your phone, and is there some of these boxes or something out there? And you
it's wonderful how patient they are.
Yeah, it's a great experience to see. Well, they're parents, and they've tried, and they've been doing it for 35 years on my end.
Yeah, that's right. Very supportive.
Yeah, is there a lot of geocaches in your area in Australia?
Yeah, there is. There's quite a few. So I am within a short drive of Sydney. And so there's quite a few in Sydney and the surrounding areas. We have a lot of forest, a lot of beaches, obviously. So there is. There's heaps around here. And then we also have the Australian Capital Territory, which is about a 3-4 hour drive from me, and they have a lot. They are really heavy on geocaches, and they've got a wide variety, so there's lots to see and do, yeah.
Now to your podcast, then. When did you start?
Well, that's interesting, actually, because I didn't actually start the geocaching podcast. A friend of mine, his name is C. Michelle. He actually started the podcast back in 2017. So he wanted Australia to have a high-quality podcast of its own, so he decided to start one. So he ran it for a few years, and then life took him in a different direction, so he went looking for someone to take it over. He didn't want it just end. He wanted someone to keep it going. So C. Michelle and I, we were on the same geocaching committee, Geocaching New South Wales. So that was a committee representing geocaching in the state of New South Wales in Australia. He was the president and I was just a team member. And he knew that I was quite good with speaking, quite good with technology. He thought I'd be a good fit to take over the podcast from him. So he actually was a little bit sneaky. He hosted a few trivia nights for his listeners. And he got me to be the co-host on a couple. And I didn't realise, but I was actually on trial to see if I could handle taking it over from him. Anyway, he thought I did a really good job. And he said, well, I think you could do it. Would you like to take it over? And I wasn't terribly confident. So I said, I would, but I'd really like a co-host and I don't know anyone. So he set about finding a co-host for me. So he had a mate in mind. His name was Tattooed Squared. So he approached Tattooed Squared. He said, oh, I don't want to do it by myself. He goes, no, it'll be a co-host. There's two of you. And then he said yes. And then I said yes because I had a co-host, someone who could help me do it. Tattooed Squared, he and I, we co-hosted for about 6 months. And then Tattooed Squared, he decided he didn't want to actually do it anymore. And I didn't want to give it up, so I continued on by myself from there on.
Okay. So how do you plan an episode?
Sure. Well, the podcast show, which is broadcast live on Facebook and YouTube, that's pretty much locked into the second Tuesday of every month. So I do one episode a month live, and then I edit the audio from that live show, and then I put it on all the distribution channels. In terms of finding the topics, it's really who I can find to be a guest. I have topics in mind, and then I chase people to try and get them on to talk about that specific topic, because that's obviously a specialty area for them. And then it just becomes a case of scheduling when people are available.
Okay. So you publish one episode a month, basically.
That's right, yes.
Okay. How do you think your audience has received your episodes? Do you get any good feedback?
Well, I've had a lot of support from local audiences, and I've even started to have some interest from overseas, which is just fantastic and thrills me, because I just wouldn't have thought that people overseas would have been interested in Australian content, but it seems they are, which is really exciting. And I know we're all curious people, so we'd like to know what geocachers all around the world are doing, like this interview, so that's fantastic. See Michelle, who started the podcast, he's actually relocated to America, and he's still a massive support and advocate for the show. So he's, spruiking the Geocaching Down Under podcast to his friends in America. So we started to get a little bit of interest there. And then I've got a really good support crew for the podcast here in Australia. They've been really awesome. They helped me extending my network, because I don't know a terrible amount of people in the geocaching community. I only know a few, like a handful. So that's really been able to spread my network and find people to connect with, to be guests on the show and bring up new topics and really explore other people's experiences in Australia of geocaching, because I really want to, with the podcast, I really want to bring geocaching community together in Australia and have like a central place that people can go for information and reference.
Do you have any plans for the future that you can share already now, or is there something secret maybe?
Nothing too highly secret, but I am hoping that when events become able to be run again, once we get past the pandemic, I would like to have some Geocaching Down Under podcast events, and really maybe even broadcast live from an event. Once again, just networking, getting out there, meeting people. I really love meeting people. I'm really social, so that's really cool. And I really want to encourage that community engagement and bring people together. So I would like to get some events going. And I'd also like to make the podcast the place for people to go for information relating to geocaching, as I just said. So working out ways to reach out to people, councils, associations who are looking for activities for family, really becoming that touch point for the sport and just an advocate for the sport, really.
We were supposed to broadcast live from events two last year, but mm-hmm. all of a sudden all of it just disappeared due to the COVID. During the pandemic, how was your listeners reacting to the show? Did you give out more episodes, or just how do you feel?
I didn't do more episodes, but what I did with the committee that I mentioned that I was on for New South Wales, I'm no longer on that committee, but they reached out to me and asked if I could do some trivia nights for them. So through the podcast and through their channels, I did some trivia nights for them just to try and entertain people.
So you did some online Zoom trivias then, if I understand right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
A common problem during the pandemic, so to speak.
And that's the thing, is everyone's Zoomed out, so, I don't really want to watch online, but we sort of did it on like Friday nights and Saturday nights when people were free, and it's trivia night. People love trivia night, so they're all sitting at home in their comfy chairs and, comfy clothes and favourite food, and they could just sit there and play trivia. It was great fun. They loved it. Got a really good response.
The thing is, when you meet up with a bunch of friends, during summer, you want to meet people and sit on a restaurant or in a park or whatever together, closer. You can hear each other and well, smell each other, if that's the worst thing. But this pandemic took us to know that we need human interaction, not just by a screen, but face to face.
Absolutely. And that's something I really noticed as well, is I'm a big hugger and I really missed hugs from people and that human touch. Yeah, so I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Before the pandemic, what was the last event you went to?
That's a very good question. I went to an event in 2019, a mega. And that was a local Christmas party. So that was about, 25, 30 people. So just a local Christmas party for local geocachers. So that was probably the last thing.
Yeah, we had some in the middle of the town, the town square. We met on the 29th of February. Just it only happens every four years. Yeah, we were about 30, 35 geocachers meeting. But at the same time, next to us, there was a singing competition.
Oh. So,
great.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we stood there looking at each other. Okay, we're going to hear each other. Well, that was the most recent event I was at, and that's so sad.
It is. Yeah, well, I mean, I'm looking at close to a year now because the next event has been published, and it's for December, and it's our local Christmas party again. So.
Oh, all right.
A full year.
And what is your best experience so far?
Generally speaking, I would say meeting people. I'm really a social person, love meeting people, love hearing their stories, seeing different walks of life and things like that. So that's been really awesome. But in the last few years, I have been on a trip to South Australia, which is sort of a 2-3 hour flight from where I live. And we included some geocaching in that trip as well. So we went down to the Flinders Ranges, which is a mountain range that cuts through sort of the centre of Australia. Then we went to Alligator Gorge, and that was fascinating because they have fossilised beaches.
Oh.
So, you know, the waves on the sand, the ripples on the sand?
Yeah.
It was actually that was fossilised into rock. So learning about a fossilised beach was fascinating, and there was a geocache nearby, not at the fossilised beach. I can give you the GC code if you want the GC code for that one, so people can have a look at the general area if they want to see the pictures of the area. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So that one was GCNJD0, and that one was called Alligator because it's in Alligator Gorge, and that was nearby. So I could find a geocache and see a fossilised beach, which was fascinating. So that's been great.
Yeah, and also you filled an area on your Project GC map.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I am loosely chasing my Jasmine grid, but it's quite tricky here in Australia because we don't have a lot of the early ones.
No. How about your worst experience? Something must have happened during these years.
Worst experience, I would say being the owner of a geocache, getting that cache muggled has been the worst experience. I haven't had any major mishaps while geocaching, so touch wood on that part. But, yeah, getting your geocaches muggled has to be one of the most frustrating parts of geocaching, I think.
I guess, and now you're not talking about the regular Tupperware containers. I mean, this might be a nice geocache, like your one you built yourself.
Yes. So I have a friend who does woodworking, so I got them to build me a birdhouse as a travel bug hotel, because we don't have any in this specific area where I am. So I wanted one, and it's also a gadget cache as well. So you've got to have a magnet to touch on the outside of the birdhouse to get the numbers to get into the lock to get in. And someone had snapped off the latch so they could just wrangle their way in, and then, you know, have filled it with leaves and sticks and whatever. So I'm not sure if it was a muggle who didn't understand what it was, but it's out of the way where I've got it placed. So you'd really, and it was a premium one too, so you'd need to have a membership to even know it was there. So, but that's frustrating.
Yeah, you don't think the muggles could have been a bird or an animal?
Maybe, or a mouse or something making a nest. That's right.
Okay, we just spoke about events. Do you have a really good memory from one of them?
Well, I've been to 3 megas, and I would say that meeting people from just all over the country has been really wonderful, and some of them have turned into friends, which is even more lovely. So the 3 megas that I've been to was the Oz Geomaster in Morisset, Clearwater's event in Queanbeyan, which is near our capital of Australian Capital Territory, and the Oz Geomaster, which is in Wollongong, which is just south of Sydney. The Morisset Mega was my first ever event, period, and I went to a mega. So that was quite intimidating, but it was 30 minutes from home, and I was just curious and shy. So I dragged my neighbour, who was the geocacher, and said, come on, let's go. Let's see what this is about. So that was fantastic first experience for an event. And then the next one, we got a little bit more adventurous, and we went down to the Australian Capital Territory, and that was wonderful as well. That was really cool. I actually caught up with some friends who geocache, and we went out at 10 p.m. at night, and we went and did a scary trail in the middle of a forest an hour and a half out of town, so, which I wouldn't have done by myself because it was just scary. It was all ghosts and spiders and severed foot, you know, containers. It was really well done, but that was cool. And then the third event, big event that I've been to, was down in Wollongong, and that's an area I've never been to before. So exploring the area was really cool, and they had a whole different variety of caches. So the event organisers had really planned it out. They had all sorts. I had Where I Go's, Adventure Labs, you know, trails if you wanted them, and it was just fascinating. So all of those sorts of memories from events has been my favorite.
Okay. So I guess during these events you've had some special memories or special happenings. Do you have a funny or a wacky story you can share from an event?
Nothing crazy out of control. We tend to be pretty prepared when we go geocaching, and particularly being a single female, you really take into consideration things before you go. But as part of that Oz Geomaster in Morisset, there was a geocache that was in a tree, but the tree was overhanging a cliff. So I got nominated to climb the tree because I'm a bit of a monkey. Anyway, so I'm up this tree, maybe 3 meters up the tree, and then hanging out over this cliff was probably 25 meters to the bottom. So, you know, could have been fatal. So that's probably one of my craziest stories. And just general, you know, we did one when we were in the Flinders Ranges, walking along a trail to find that geocache, and we're in a gorge, and no one around. And, you know, what Australia's like without native animals, we've got snakes, we've got goannas, we've got spiders, and all of them can kill you, so that's always a challenge. But my aunt was with me at that time, and she lost her sunnies on the walk somewhere. So, you know, we spent the next 45 minutes on the trail trying to find sunnies. And then, like, I've had friends, you know, walk for kilometres and kilometres to find a geocache, get there, find the geocache, it's all good, okay, let's go back to the car, let's go find the next one. They got halfway back to the car, I think it was a 2.5 kilometre trek, they got halfway back to the car and realised that their car keys were missing, so they had to retrace their steps, and it turns out that it was a building at the end of this hike that they had to crawl under the building on their back, hands and knees on their back, to find the geocache, and the keys were there. So they'd obviously fallen out of their pockets while they're scrambling under this building. So didn't happen to me, but I have heard of, you know, people who have, you know, nearly gotten stranded or stuck. But no, touch wood, no flat tires, no ticks, no snake bites. So touch wood, my good luck continues.
Okay. Now, a question just to give you a bit of marketing. Can you tell us short about geocaching down under, about your episodes, what you do with them?
Oh, sure. So we, well, I broadcast on the second Tuesday of each month. So I do one episode a month on the second Tuesday of the month. That goes out live on Facebook and YouTube. So people can join in the chat room and interact with my guests. I try and get a variety of guests on to explore different elements of geocaching. We've really explored lately, obviously, Halloween we've just gone through. So we really wanted to explore night caching and everything to do with spooky caches and things like that. I've got reviewers. So I've talked to reviewers about the reviewing process and how people can be better geocache hiders. I've had people talk to me about events specifically. I do quite a few on event promotion, so trying to include the whole of Australia in one central location. So I do encourage event organisers to get in contact with me, and we can really step through people through events, because I think we're a little bit different to other countries in Australia. I know you can only have an event on one day, but we try and make it like a full weekend, so a Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and have a full weekend of things to do. So the actual event's on Saturday, for say, but there's things leading up on the Thursday, Friday, and then closing on the Sunday. So I really like people to come on and explain to people what they can do over the whole weekend, and really encourage people to travel and go to the event. So I really encourage that. What else have we had? Oh, just bits and pieces, getting to know. We've got a few hiders finders down here that have found, you know, 30,000 geocaches, which is just phenomenal to me. That's huge. I'm sure in Europe it's probably not that big of a find count, but down here that's quite amazing. So I've talked to them and found out their experiences and their love of geocaching and their obsession. But, yeah, basically it's just sharing our obsession of geocaching and all things revolving around that.
Okay, and where, if my listeners would like to listen or watch your videos, where can they find you?
Oh, sure. So you can search for us on YouTube, just Geocaching Down Under podcast. We've got the YouTube channel. Same on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. On Instagram, it is GDU Podcast. That is our handle. And we will have a website up and running. I'm trying to get it up before the end of the year, and that'll just be Geocaching Podcast Down Under. No, it's geocachingdownunder.com.au.
Okay. To wrap this up, I have one last question, and that is, what is your dream location to go geocaching?
Well, I've had a bit of a think about this, and I can't specifically pick a location, but I would say Germany. I've seen quite a few videos of Germany and their amazing geocaches they have over there. I would like to go back to America. I visited America back in 2013, and it was in my break between geocaching, so I didn't find a single one while I was over there. So I'd really like to revisit them, America again, because I know they've got quite a few gadget caches, which really interests me. I find those exciting. But Europe would be number one, and then back to America would be very close behind.
Okay. Yes, I agree. Well, I would like to go to Australia, actually.
You should, if you get a chance.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of videos online also from the nature around Australia. Australia and New Zealand are supposed to be very nice caches as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And we've got some amazing geology here in Australia too. So if you're into earth caches, there's quite a lot of historic things to learn here. But New Zealand's got some wonderful geocaches. I watch a few geovloggers from New Zealand, and they've got some really lovely caches over there too.
Yes. And if you as a listener or international listener would like to contact us or give us some general feedback, this is how you do it.
Found It podcast is provided to you by Patrick Norén and Patricia Lehman. Please visit founditpodcast.se to find out how you can contact us, where you can listen to us, and how you can support us. Thank you for listening.
Yes, Terry Ann, it was an honor to have you on the show, and I wish you all the best in the future.
It was an absolute pleasure, Patrick. Thank you very much for reaching out. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
You're listening to Found It podcast with me, Patrick.
And Terry Ann.
Goodbye to you.
Found It
podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Found It.